Blog Talk Radio.
We are live on Fan for Racing NASCAR and Race Talk Review. We'll be reviewing Sonoma, Iowa, and Madison. Big weekend of racing. Lots of exciting racing taking place this weekend. And we'll be talking about all of it right here on Fan for Racing Radio tonight. During our first half hour, we're going to cover NASCAR's top three series, Camping World Truck Series and Xfinity Series at Iowa, as well as the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series at Sonoma. At 9 p.m., we have Austin Terrio, who won again for Ken Schrader Racing in the ARCA Racing Series. This is his third victory of the season, and he's going to be joining us for a short interview at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. He'll only have about 10 minutes with us, so we're looking forward to chatting with him and talking about his great success in that ARCA Racing Series. Joining me now is Sal Segala, our co-host. Welcome, Sal.
Oh, thank you, Sharon.
Okay. We're up to 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You want to talk about who your guest is for that 9:30 segment?
Yeah, he's Will Rogers. This is his second season in the NASCAR Can-Am West Series, and actually Saturday for the Carneros 200 up in Sonoma, California, he had a very exciting weekend, finishing second behind Kevin Harvick in the on the road course. Had a chance to win it. Took the respectable way out and raced Kevin Harvick very, very clean, very impressive second place finish. And actually, when I talked to Will about coming on, I told him, you know what, I said, that's like a win, because, you know, Kevin is a cup regular. He's not a kid in West regular, and the way Will raced him, he raced him like a true winner.
He really did, and I got to tell you, Sal, I thought it was really impressive, because he took the pole earlier in the day, and then when he was racing with Kevin Harvick, they really were the only two challengers for that finish, to finish first. Everybody else was like 9 seconds behind Will Rogers and Kevin Harvick. So that made it even more impressive. And he's a Rookie of the Year contender in the K&N West this season. So the rookie going up against a giant like Kevin Harvick from the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series is really impressive, and I'm really looking forward to chatting with him more about that. And then, you know, our 9 o'clock guest is Austin Terrio. With his three wins in the ARCA Racing Series, I feel like he's back to the forefront of being a contender for racing in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series or Xfinity Series again, as he should be. I think Austin's a great racer, and he's having a really fantastic season in the ARCA Racing Series.
Yeah, he is, and it's an exciting series. You know, it's just going to play out at the end of the season on who ends up coming home with the championship there.
Trophy. Absolutely, it's going to be fun to watch. But Austin's got a pretty commanding lead with 175 point difference between him and Dalton Sargeant right now. But let's go ahead right now in this first half hour, talk about the top three series, starting with the Camping World Truck Series. I do have some post-race audio here from John Hunter Nemechek. His dad's on this audio, as well as his crew chief, Jerry Kinnon. But I'm not sure that we'll be able to listen to the whole audio, but let's listen to a couple minutes anyway, and then you and I can talk on the other side, okay?
Okay.
All right, we are going to continue with our post-race media availabilities for today's M&M's 200, presented by Casey's General Stores here at Iowa Speedway with the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series. We are joined by our race winner, John Hunter Nemechek, Driver the number 8, Farm Alarm Services, Inc., Romco Equipment Company, Chevrolet. John Hunter, 2 in a row here. Tell us how it feels.
It feels really good. This is unbelievable for sure. We knew that we were going to have a good truck this weekend running here last year. We led laps last year, qualified on the pole, just didn't finish it out like we needed to. So we were coming back here looking for some redemption. And we had to work on it all night. The truck wasn't the greatest from the start of the race. The track kept changing a lot. So I had to give feedback to Dad, Jerry, and Lonnie on top of the box so that they could make the best call on what we were going to do adjustment-wise. And there were certain parts of the race where I really didn't know what I needed in order to go faster. I didn't know if I was given the correct feedback, and somehow it all worked out. The last strategy call, taking 4 tires instead of 2 there at the end, we kind of had that strategy. If a caution came out towards the end, we were going to come no matter what and no matter who came, just because tires were such a big factor. And restarting 4th there, pushing Johnny into turn 1, I was kind of in the catbird seat. So I can't thank Fire Alarm Services enough for coming back on board, not knowing if we were going to be able to get here from last week. We put a lot of hours in at the shop this week, working until 2 a.m. to get this truck turned around. And we got it here and got it done.
All right, and that sets us up for our race-winning crew chief, Jerry Cannon. Jerry, another 2 weeks in a row with a pretty good call top of the pit box that got you guys to victory lane. Why don't you take us through tonight?
Well, like you said, we worked a lot of hours to get this thing turned around. And our plan, it kind of just worked out there at the end, because we were talking about the 29 pitting last week, getting 4 tires right there at the end. And why some of them, if we'd had 4 leading the race last week, got 4 then, because tires are so important. And here, now the racetrack's changed enough that it's rough, and it was wearing it all 4 tires out from on our car, our truck rather. And so that was the only call to make after running, with only 10 laps to go or whatever. They had those bunch of laps on them, so it was the thing to do, and it just suited our style this week.
And we also have our race-winning truck owner, Joe Nemechek.
Okay. That was John Hunter Nemechek and his crew chief, Jared Kennan, talking about their victory and their thoughts in those closing laps, Sal. Tires seem to be the main thing helping John Hunter Nemechek get the victory this weekend. And they learned some things even from last week's win out at Gateway. So, Big victory for John Hunter Nemechek. And this is another example of a small team going up against some of the bigger name teams and bigger money teams. These guys are doing it on a shoestring, and they talked about how many hours they spend in the shop. And John Hunter Nemechek is very much a part of that, spending hours in the shop to work on the truck. Sal? Okay,
I'm
not sure what
actually
happened to Sal here.
I'm here. I had to mute because I was having technical difficulties. But anyways, going back to talk about Iowa Speedway and the surface. As we know, we have the combination race coming up with the Xfinity and the Can-Am. And the drivers always talk about the tire fall off on there. I can imagine it's probably a lot more, when it comes to, the trucks are a little bit faster and a little bit, I don't really know if they're heavier or not, but it was a great win by John, to hold on, and get the win when he needed it. I know some of the things, came into controversy last year with one of his wins, but it seems like he's grown from that. And now he's a really respectable driver out there on the track.
Yeah, it has been a long run from him. A lot of people thought he'd be contending for the championship this season, and of course now he is with 2 wins under his belt. But it was a long way into the season for him to get to this point. John Hunter Nemechek had to finish ahead of Johnny Sauter, the veteran, Brandon Jones in 3rd, Grant Enfinger 4th, and Christopher Bell finished 5th. In that race. Grant Enfinger is leading, by the way. The rookie of the year points now. If you remember last week, he was tied with Chase Briscoe for that contest for the rookie of the year. But he now has that lead, and he's leading 122 to Chase Briscoe's 117 points.
Yes, and actually, we talked a little bit about Chase Briscoe last week, you know, and the close second place that he's had, and it's a still tight battle, and even going Noah Gregson in there in third, you know, he got a slow start, you know, but you know he's whittling away at the top tens, you know, and it seems like those top tens and top fives are is what's gonna, you know. That might end to be the deciding factor when it comes to the rookie of the year.
It definitely may be. When I look at the next five drivers to round out the top 10, it's loaded with rookies. Noah Gregson finished sixth, Austin Cindric eighth, Chase Briscoe finished seventh, Austin Cindric finished eighth, Jesse Little in ninth, and Justin Haley in 10th place. So really impressive with how well the rookies are running this season. And I think it's going to be a pretty tight battle all year long. Like you say, we won't know till the end of the season. Johnny Sauter still has the points lead over Christopher Bell, who is 42 points back. Chase Briscoe is in third. Matt Crafton and Ben Rhodes are the top five drivers in the Camping World Truck Series.
It's a tough battle coming in. You know, we're almost I think we're almost to a little bit over half the season, and when you look at the all around picture of what's happening in NASCAR Camping World Truck Series, it's something that me and you kind of talked about. We kind of expected that it was going to be, you know, a tough fought battle between all the championships and wins because of the fact that, you know, that it is one of the best series that NASCAR has out there right now.
Mm-hmm. It really is. And I think, you know, the stage racing has just really improved overall, the racing within NASCAR. Xfinity, I think, has been the biggest benefactor of the stage racing, because even that series now, which before was not always the most exciting series to win, that rule, along with the rule that limits the drivers coming in from the Monster Energy Cup Series into the Xfinity Series, have really improved the racing there. I do have William Byron. How exciting was that to see William Byron come home with his first victory this weekend in the Xfinity Series out at Iowa?
Oh yeah, that was huge. He's been kind of like one of those drivers that's been like way overdue. He was poised for a win this year. It was just a matter of when he was going to get it.
Absolutely, and I couldn't think of a better place than Iowa Speedway. I do have some comments, post-race comments from Byron. William Byron, along with his crew chief, Dave Elans. Again, I'll only play a couple minutes here because we're short on time, but let's go ahead and hear some of their post-race comments after William Byron getting his first Xfinity Series win.
We are going to continue with our post-race media availabilities for today's American Ethanol E15 250 here at Iowa Speedway. We are joined by the crew chief for the race-winning car, the number 9 Exalta Windsor Windows and Door Chevrolet, David Ellens. David, why don't you just take us through what it was like on the pit box to bring William his first win in the NASCAR Xfinity Series.
It was definitely an interesting way to get the win. We had a pretty good day going. You know, felt pretty good about the car the first couple runs, and we're, you know, probably outraced a little bit by that 20, but I felt like we're the next best car through the first half of the race, and as the sun set a little bit, we just kind of, we lost the handle on the car a little bit, needed to be a little bit tighter, and then had a couple bad restarts, and then everybody's playing the tire game, trying to save there towards the end. Fortunately, I stayed out a lap longer, and we dropped the field the lap down, it was very good for the winning. It would have been kind of nice to race a few more people, but it was a good experience for William to get the win. And after Michigan losing it by such a small amount, it just a good feeling to get it back for him.
Awesome. We'll open up to questions for David. If you have a question, please raise your hand. We'll get a wireless mic to you. Up front to RJ.
Okay, that was actually Dave Elens, the crew chief for William Byron, and he talks about how rewarding it was to get the win, especially after coming so close at Michigan to winning with Denny Hamlin. You know, the tire strategy comes up because they're limited on the number of tires they can use during a race. So there was a lot of tire management strategy taking place throughout that race.
Yeah, there's a lot of strategy. You know, and these young drivers, you know, they're adapting to it really well. You know, you would think, you know, that as the season goes, well, of course, as the season goes on, they're going to learn more and more. It's amazing how fast the drivers are picking up on the different strategies, you know, and how they stay poised throughout the race, you know, and especially with the patience that it takes, you know, to win a race like this, which is something that's going to be really neat to speak to Will Rogers about later on, because you see it and, you know, what he went through for his win.
Absolutely. I'm looking at the top five here, Sal. William Byron finished first. That was impressive. But another impressive run by Ryan Sieg, who finished second in the number 39 car. Pretty impressive run for him as well. He's followed by Tyler Reddick, who finished third. Ross Chastain finished fourth. That was a great finish for JD Motorsports and Ross Chastain. And Dakota Armstrong finished fifth.
Yes, it is. You know what? Like you said, you know, Ryan Sieg finished, getting that second place finish. You know, Dakota Armstrong fifth, Jeremy Clements in seventh, and you know, and then of course, then we kind of hit one of the veterans, you know, which is Elliott Sadler in eighth. But for Ryan Sieg to bring home the second place finish, you know, that's huge for the not only for the driver, but for the team itself.
Absolutely, and. And that's why these standalone races are a lot more fun, I think, for the fans to watch, because they're seeing just the Xfinity Series drivers competing against other Xfinity Series drivers. The next five here include Michael Annett in sixth, Jeremy Clements finished seventh, Elliott Sadler eighth, Justin Allgaier ninth, and Garrett Smithley, another JD Motorsports car, finishing 10th. Pretty impressive top 10 there.
Yeah, sure. And it is a very impressive top 10. Like we've been talking about, you know, just the series itself, you know, the competition it brings, you know, and even though he's down at the bottom, but you know, it's good to see, just a quick mention, it's good to see Sam Hornish back. You know, back in the series, and after being out for so long.
I couldn't agree more. It was it was a little bit of a homecoming for Sam Hornish, and really good to see him in the car. He's racing with a different team, but we're happy to see him back on the track. Another friend of ours, Dylan Lupton, he finished in 15th this week.
Yes, he did. You know, and I kind of had a laugh at his sponsor, you know, Nut Up Toyota.
Oh,
you know,
who's his sponsor?
It's Nut Up Toyota. Nut Up. and I know, you know, when you first hear it, it kind of doesn't sound right. But when you think about it, some of the drivers, you know, talk about, you know, you get behind the wheel, you know, it's go time. You know, it's time to, you know, step it up. You know, that's kind of like one of the little term going around, you know, it's Nut Up. But I, you know, when you go up and down the line, and you know, you see the sponsors, which is something, you know, that's good, you know, that we're starting to see, you know, the sponsors start to come back to the series, you know, whether it be a big sponsor or a small sponsor, you know, which is good. I mean, we had a full 40 car field this year for this race, which is just totally unheard of. Reese has seen the small
field. It's been a while.
But yeah, it's been a while since we've seen a 40-car field.
Now, I want to get to the Rookie of the Year standings because William Byron, of course, is leading those standings. But it's the second and third place that I think is going to be the battle in this particular series between Daniel Hemric and Cole Custer. There's only 3 points difference between those two drivers, with Daniel Hemric in second at 153 and Cole Custer third with 150 points. So something to keep your eye on for sure.
Oh, most definitely something to keep your eye on. Cole Custer has had a really bad start to the season. He's had an up and down season, and to think that he's only, 30 points away, out of the top spot, and only three away from Hemric. He's still very much in this Rookie of the Year award race.
Mm-hmm. And I know we'll see more impressive runs from him as this season goes on. As far as the series point standing, Sal, we've got Elliott Sadler in first place. He leads Justin Allgaier in second by 25 points. William Byron is in third place, 57 points away from the lead. And then, of course, Daniel Hemric in fourth and Ryan Reed in fifth place. Again, I think that's pretty cool to see the contest taking place there.
It is.
Sharon,
and I think.
Go ahead.
No, what I was saying is.
No, go ahead, sir.
It's kind of neat. Okay, it's kind of neat to kind of see how the season plays out, because everybody thinks, of course, you win Daytona, that's a setter, the trendsetter right there. You win Daytona, and that sets the pace for the rest of your season. But it seems like Daytona, it's a big win for the drivers, but it's just another win, another race, because when you start getting into the middle of the season, towards the end of the season, it's not always the Daytona winner who's always, the big contender of the year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So we'll definitely be staying tuned in for this Xfinity Series racing as they continue the first half of the season going into the second half with Daytona. Now, I want to talk just briefly here, too, about the ARCA Racing Series, because Austin Terrio is having a breakout year. He came home this weekend with his third victory. He's won at Daytona, Elko Speedway, and now at Madison International Speedway. He won the Montgomery Ward 200 this weekend. He says he doesn't always have the fastest car in the beginning, but his team tends to work on it and get it going for him by the end of the race. And he's always in a good position to go after that victory, and that's what happened again this weekend when he brought his number 52 Ken Schrader car into victory lane.
Exactly. And once again, we've had him on before. We've talked about it. And now it's like he's getting to be one of our repeat guests, because he just, one after another, one after another, one after another. But it's good that he's clicking off these wins. He puts himself in a great position, to win these races. And you have to put yourself in a position sometime during the race. You have to make a, whether it be from an odd pit strategy or whatever it may be. But to win these races, if you can't think outside the box, the competition level that's out there now, you have to go beyond it.
Yeah, absolutely. And he had some tough competition. Zane Smith was challenging for the lead. He ended up finishing second. Christian Eckes gave him a big challenge for the lead as well. I guess if not for the restart on lap 25, it looked like maybe Christian Eckes was going to contend for the win. But he had a bad restart. That gave Austin Terrio the opportunity then to take the lead back, and go after that win. But it didn't come easy for him. He had to really go after it this weekend.
Yes, he did. Like you said, he did have to go after it, and you know he had to earn it. You know, it's just a testament, you know, to the talent that he had. You know, that we've seen him. You know, when he was last year, when he was driving in the Camping World Truck Series, you know, to get into the ARCA car, and you know, and really put himself, you know, in a really good position where he's at right now.
Absolutely. We're talking ARCA racing right now, and then after our conversation with Austin Terrio, we're going to get into the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series and the K&N West Pro Series before we talk with Will Rogers. So just a programming note there. Now, Austin Terrio leads Dalton Sargeant in the series point standings by 175 points. That's pretty impressive as well.
Yeah, yes, it is. This series is just really shaping up to be, you know, one of the premier series out there, kind of next to the Camping World Truck Series.
Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what, from third on back, you've got Riley Herbst, Shane Lee, and Brett Holmes rounding out the top five. Those guys are all. Brett Holmes is within 15 points of Shane Lee, and Shane Lee is within 50 points of Riley Herbst. So there's quite a little battle going on between third and fifth there. And we'll see those point standings kind of jumble around as the season progresses. But getting back to the race, Zane Smith actually finished second. Riley Herbst finished third, Shane Lee fourth, and Christian Eckes came home in fifth place this weekend.
Yes, how about that, Riley Herbst? We had him on when he won his first race a couple weeks ago. And now here he is finishing third, in the point standings behind Dalton Sargeant. And, you know, he raced one season in K&N West. He went from Irwindale from late models to racing late models and trucks to K&N West and then into the ARCA Series, and look at the results he's been having.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think nobody can compare right now to the results that Austin Terrio has been having. He's on here a little bit earlier, and I'm gonna bring him on into the queue because I know he has a limited time available for us tonight. Austin Terrio, you have 3 wins now in the ARCA Racing Series with Daytona, Elko, and now Madison under your belt. And I'll tell you what, you put your car in the right position at the right time to get the right results. And you credit your team for a lot of that. But just talk about those closing laps and how hard it was you had to fight for that victory.
It was a hard fought victory. You're right. The last two races have come down to the wire. Elko a couple weeks ago. Obviously, I think the video. I don't know if it went viral, but a lot of people certainly saw it. And basically, came down to half of a fender. And this race was a little bit different, but at the same time, it was a hard fought battle because we didn't have necessarily the best car. At least in the beginning of the race and halfway through the race, we were still fighting to basically stay in the top five. And a couple pit stops and really good pit stops got me out in front of some of the other guys that we were racing, and some good adjustments from the crew chief. And it was kind of at that point our race to command. And from there we could play some defense. I used it up. To be honest, there wasn't much left. The tires were pretty well worn out at the end of the race, and a couple of Venturini cars were challenging us for the win. The 55 and the 15 both took turns on different restarts, and we ended up on top. So another exciting weekend for us.
Absolutely, and it was that restart with 25 to go. I think everybody thought Christian Eckes was the guy who was going to come out on top there, but for whatever reason, the restart didn't go quite to plan, and it gave you your opportunity to take that lead.
Yeah, and a lot of these short track races come down to, being at the right place at the right time is important, but making risky decisions and coming out on top, and we made some risky decisions during the race from the standpoint of where you decide to put your car on restarts, and do you decide to go three wide, or do you stay behind the cars that are side by side in front of you? You stick it in there, and I had to make a call. I think it was on that restart to maybe make it three wide, and we ended up passing a bunch of cars there.
Absolutely, and it puts you right up in front there. And then your competitor was really Zane Smith from there. And I know our co-host is here today, and I know he has a couple questions for you as well, Austin. So I'm going to go ahead and let him take over the mic.
Good evening, Austin. First of all,
Sal?
Congratulations on yeah, I'm here. Hello?
Yeah,
I hear you fine.
Okay. First of all, Austin, congratulations on your third win in a row. And you know what? I really have to say, what a great win, especially at a track like Iowa, you know, where everybody knows, you know, tire management is huge on that track.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you mentioned Iowa, and that's always a good track for the ARCA series. I've been there before, so it's going to be exciting to make another trip there. It always puts on really good racing because of the fact that it's a short track, but it's a big short track, and so you have the mechanical side of the setup that comes into effect, but you also have the aerodynamic side that comes into effect. So it's a mix between like an intermediate racetrack, the cookie cutter mile and a half, and at the same time it's got some tendencies like a short track.
You know what? Exactly. You know, now going back to Madison, which was the win, you know, you just picked up this weekend. Taking what you learned from driving the trucks, how much of that knowledge goes into racing one of the ARCA cars, especially with the different aerodynamics, you know, that the cars have as compared to the truck?
Well, the trucks are a little bit different from the standpoint of the bodies and the aerodynamics. That's going to be probably the biggest change that you have to adapt to. But when you get to a really short track like Madison and Elko, there's very little differences. They basically come down to maybe being on a general tire or a Goodyear tire in the NASCAR series. But the bigger track you get to is when you start to notice the differences between the ARCA cars and the trucks. And it all has to do with the aerodynamics and the downforce. The trucks have more of a certain type of downforce and less of another type of downforce, and drag is also really a big effect on the big tracks. But any experience is good experience. So from that standpoint, being in a race car at the truck level, you know, a couple of years ago, did help me adapt to just to the fact that you're changing types of race cars and you have to be able to get up to speed quick. And so it's all good experience.
Now, coming from a short track into the ARCA series, is this one of the reasons that we're probably seeing, you know, the like a new generation of driver, you know, having so much success in the ARCA series as compared, you know, to them, you know, trying out the trucks first, you know, and maybe kind of like vice versa on that.
Well, I think it goes in cycles. Some, like, you know, used to have a lot of people in the K&N series and skipping ARCA, going to trucks. You used to have people skipping going from ARCA to Xfinity. it seems to change a lot, and it goes in cycles. So right now you have a pretty decent ARCA field, a lot of drivers that are up and coming, trying to make a name for themselves, and they're in ARCA right now. But you also have a pretty decent field of rookies, both in trucks and Xfinity. So the problem is we're all vying for this, you know, vying for the same spot, and there's not many spots available. So just trying to be successful and getting your name out there is so important.
Well, congrats again on the win this past weekend. And with that, I'm going to turn it back over to Sharon.
Okay, Austin. I referenced the battle that you had with Zane Smith in the closing laps as well. He ended up finishing second. Talk about your thoughts racing with Zane Smith and those closing laps.
Zane's one of those up-and-coming drivers I mentioned, obviously, I think quite a bit younger than me. I believe he's probably 3 or 4 years younger than me, so he'll continue to gain a bunch of experience as he races at different tracks and is involved with different teams and starts to climb the ladder. So I mean, I have a little bit up on him as far as experience, and I think sometimes it comes into play, but it came down at the end of the race, at least, to the fact that we were up front. If he would have been up front, who knows if we would have been able to pass him. Maybe we could have gotten to his bumper, but you don't know. You'll never know if roles were reversed. But it was a good battle with him. I was just so focused on what was going on ahead of me. I really didn't want to look in the mirror. I knew they were behind. I knew Zane was behind me at one point, and I knew the 15 was behind me before that. But you just can't make any mistakes, and they were so close that I just couldn't. I wanted to see how far back they were, but I couldn't. I had to focus on what was in front of me.
Absolutely. And, that certainly that focus is what got you the win when all was said and done at Madison Speedway this weekend. And you've got a really commanding lead right now in the ARCA Racing Series. You're 175 points ahead of second-place Dalton Sargeant. Looking at the schedule that's coming up here, we mentioned Iowa Speedway is coming up next on July 8th. You'll be racing there. Where do you see your biggest opportunities and your biggest challenges?
Well, judging by our performance this year, our biggest opportunities have come at the short tracks. Pocono most recently, a couple weeks ago, or about a month ago, was probably one of our more challenging races that we've been to this year. We were dealing with a new car and obviously a track that's bigger than a mile and a half, around 2 miles or two, you know, whatever it is. Aerodynamics come into play, so we're slowly figuring out how all of that works, and the fact that as a team we work so hard and definitely have the resources needed to win, but still don't have the opportunity to go to the wind tunnel and figure that stuff out. So a lot of it's trial and error. Pocono is going to be a good test for us coming up to figure out whether we've made improvements. And the dirt races and the road courses are I'm looking forward to, but however they do bring up a little bit of unknowns for a lot of people, including ourselves. Just the fact that I haven't been on dirt and limited starts on road courses. But as the year goes on from there, you're looking at another short track, another couple of short tracks, and then basically a mile and a half tracks to finish out the year. So we'll see what happens. I can only look so far ahead, though.
Mm-hmm. Again, keeping your focus on what's happening now, I think, is probably a good idea. But let's give you a chance to do any shout-outs you want to do before we say goodbye here. And also let fans know how they can follow Austin Terrio.
Absolutely. Good point there on the social media aspect. Fans can follow at Facebook, obviously. I've been very fortunate to have a huge following throughout the years. I think, you know, 10 years of racing, but around 30,000 people, a lot of people from the Northeast. But as I've traveled across the country, we've connected with a lot of people. And so fans can follow at Austin Terrio on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for the younger crowd. It's always exciting to see when you're successful, to see that social media aspect continually increase. And obviously the fact that I have an opportunity with Ken Schrader Racing, an amazing opportunity actually, and got to thank the guys that work day to day on the cars, and obviously Ken and Ann Schrader for all that they've done so far. And we're looking forward to seeing what we can do the rest of the season.
Well, so are a lot of your fans looking forward to seeing what happens the rest of this ARCA Racing Series. And you're currently leading the points and three wins under your belt. It looks like blue skies and rainbows up ahead. So we'll keep our eyes on what's going on, Austin, and we wish you the best. And if fans want to watch the Fans with Benefits 150 at Iowa Speedway, it will be this July 8th at 8 p.m. Central Daylight Time. And fans will be able to follow along for that race. I'm looking here real quick. It will be on BAV TV. So, and then you can always follow along at ArcaRacing.com. Again, Austin, thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule, and we wish you the best throughout the season.
Thanks. It's always great being a part of your show, so hopefully we can continue this season.
Okay. Thank you so much, and we'll be watching out there at Iowa.
Take care. I appreciate it.
Take care, Austin. Hope to have you back. All right. That was Austin Terrio with Ken Schrader Racing. A fantastic season that they're having. A lot of people, Sal, are talking about Austin Terrio having such a great season this year and what that might mean for his future, perhaps coming back into the NASCAR limelight.
Oh yeah, it's going to be huge, especially if he wins a championship and picks up, you know, another 2, 3, 4 wins to go along with it. It's going to be a phenomenal season, and especially with the ARCA cars, you know, almost similar, you know, to the Xfinity cars. You know, he shouldn't really have too much trouble, you know, trying to get back into the, you know, to the NASCAR series and possibly even get into the Cup series.
Absolutely, and it would be well deserved. Austin Terrio, I followed him. He mentioned he's got a huge Facebook following. I followed him on Facebook as well as on Twitter, and he's always good about getting out to the fans and doing video chats with them. And he's got a very big fan base that are really looking for his success in these coming weeks as well. And as he mentioned, it's not going to be easy. Some of these tracks, some of them might be a little bit more challenging for him, but I think Austin Terrio is going to be up for it. It's going to be fun to watch for sure.
Oh.
But Sal, let's go ahead.
Oh no, yeah, I was just gonna agree with you and say yes, it is going to be really, see where the rest of the season takes him and see, you know, how the rest of the season plays out. He's on a roll. He's hot right now, and actually, when you look around at the other series, there really isn't we really don't have a driver, you know, who's really just dominating the season this year in any other, whether it be the top three NASCAR series or the ARCA series.
That's true. A lot can still happen. I kind of feel like when Daytona starts coming up, I feel like half the season's over and we're getting ready for the second half. And that's what I think is happening kind of all across the board here. But let's go ahead and move on here to the Can-Am Pro Series as well as the Monster Energy. And I want to start with the Cup Series because the Cup Series, Kevin Harvick won both of those races, and the Cup Series had a pretty interesting finish to the race with Kevin Harvick winning. There was a lot of conversation today about the cautions or not calling cautions, but cautions on a road track, Sal, are a lot different than cautions on a mile and a half track, especially if it's a fast mile and a half, right?
Oh yes, they are. They're a lot different. It's funny because like when you watch, like, let's just say example Formula One, when they have a caution, they can have a caution in just one corner, and then race the rest of the track. And in NASCAR, they don't have, you know, just you know, like a caution in 3 and 4. You know, they let them race, you know, all the way through turn 11, all the way down the front stretch. So when they call a caution, it's always a full course caution. It's funny to hear people out there on the track saying, "Oh, they have a full course caution." Well, they always have a full course caution. You know, it's not never just centralized in one part. You know, you're not watching IndyCar, you're not watching Formula One anymore. You're watching NASCAR. But it was a good race all in all. It was a tough fought battle for Harvick, you know, and it was an up and down day for Kyle Busch and a few other drivers.
Absolutely. And we'll talk about that because there's some more, definitely more news there when you say that. But I do have some audio here from Kevin Harvick, and let's listen to his post-race comments after winning. Oops, let me make sure I've got the right one here. After winning, let me see if I can get to it. For some reason, the computer won't let me get to it. Let me see if I can. Okay, we might not be able to listen to the post-race comments because I cannot get to them for Kevin Harvick. But this was a big win for him because he hadn't won this season. So now he's punched his ticket into the playoffs for him and his team. And it seems like the relationship between him and Rodney Childers is really developing. And what's really cool about it, too, is this is the first time Harvick has won in a Ford.
Yes, and like you said, you know, it's the first, you know, his first win in a Ford, his first win this season. And it's just crazy when you look up and down the board at all the drivers that don't have wins that, you know, by now, you know, they most of them have multiple wins.
Mm-hmm. Sal, I did now get to that audio, so let me go ahead and play at least a couple of minutes here of Kevin Harvick's post-race comments.
If I could have your attention here in the media center, we will continue on with today's winner's press conference for the Toyota Save Mart 350 in the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. And we're joined by our winner, Kevin Harvick, driver of the number 4 Mobile 1 Ford for Stewart Haas Racing. Pulled off the weekend sweep, your fourth win now at Sonoma Raceway, and your second this weekend. Walk us through your thoughts in those closing laps.
Yeah, we doubled our total in one weekend. So, but we definitely checked the most important one off, and that's definitely in the Cup Series. You know, for me, it's been a lot of close calls, and I think today, with the car that we had all weekend, I felt like our car was fast enough to, you know, to try to put ourselves in position towards the end of the race to have a chance to win. So we gave up those, I think we were second and fourth in the stages to come in and pit to try to win the race. I felt like that was definitely the right call. And then there at the end of the race, we you know, were able to get to the end, saving the rear tires and still pulling away. So it was a great weekend, and you just got to cherish the weekends when they're like this because they don't always go as smooth as this one did. So it's nice to finally have that.
Okay. We'll open the floor for questions. If you have a question, please raise.
Okay. That was Kevin Harvick and his post-race comment after winning in the Cup Series at Sonoma Raceway. He has experience at Sonoma, so that certainly came into play for him this weekend in both of those series. But let's looking at the top five here for the Monster Energy, we've got Kevin Harvick, great finish for Clint Bowyer, finishing second, Brad Keselowski in third, Denny Hamlin fourth, and Kyle Busch in fifth. You've got three Joe Gibbs Racing cars there in the top five, Sal, and they've been struggling to get finishes this season. Do you get a feeling that maybe Joe Gibbs is turning their ship around? Sal?
Oh, yes, they are definitely turning their ship around. Their ship hasn't been what we're used to seeing out of them, and it's crazy to think that Kyle doesn't have a win at this point of the season.
I know, and there's something about Kyle here, too, that fans need to be aware of, and that is that his car, there might be some issues with regard to potential penalties for that number 18 car this weekend, and NASCAR is going to review it, and we may hear if there's going to be a penalty by Wednesday this week. So something for fans to just be aware of. I'm trying to find the details here right now.
Oh, yeah,
now.
It'll be a penalty on top of a penalty because he's already without his crew chief.
Exactly.
So basically, he's going to be without
exactly.
the interim crew chief. So I don't know. From what I'm hearing around the buzz, it might be the jackman that might be the crew chief next week.
Well, his crew chief this week was Ben Bashore because Paul Wolf it was out Adam Stevens, I'm at wrong team. Adam Stevens was suspended and missed. This was the third of four race suspension that he's serving, and so he was not there this weekend. But now, if Ben Bashore gets a penalty this week, then it's going to be. It could be a one race suspension. The problem is that there were two loose lug nuts after the race on Sunday. So, they're going to have to dig deep for a crew chief here for Kyle Busch if Ben Bashore ends up being suspended for one race at Daytona.
Yes, with the race that he had anyways, he had to do something to try and contend for the win. So I guess, leaving some lug nuts loose or leaving them off, was the way to go. And, we'll deal with the penalties later. But the bad thing about that is who takes that spot?
I know. I feel bad for Kyle Busch. He's still working hard to try to get a win in the Cup Series, and we're not used to seeing that from Kyle Busch. Like we said, we're almost halfway through the season and no win yet from Kyle Busch. So he's pushing to do everything he can to get that win. But that was a risk versus reward kind of call that may end up hurting him in the long run because chances are they're going to take some points away.
Yes, and that's one thing. None of these teams need is to have points taken away, especially with the stage racing. We're seeing some of these drivers just pick up these stage wins. Like they're picking up candy out of money off the ground. When somebody drops it, it's going to play out, and it's going to be interesting to see where some of these teams do end up. Especially, you would think Joe Gibbs of all racing organizations, one or two. Penalties and that's it. But man, they're just this number 18 team is just chalking them up like if they're gimmies, NASCAR ain't gonna do nothing about it.
Well, we'll find out by Wednesday this week if NASCAR is gonna do something about it. But it's a shame to see that happening because it seems like when things are not going well, you tend to work 10 times harder than when things are going well and things are kind of coming to you. And that's the kind of year that Kyle Busch is having. Another driver that's kind of struggling this year, Dale Earnhardt Jr., he came home sixth, Kurt Busch seventh, Chase Elliott eighth, Ryan Blaney ninth, and Jamie McMurray finished 10th. Again, really impressive runs with Chase Elliott and Ryan Blaney as the rookies in this group.
And let's not forget that Chase Elliott had to go to a backup car after he had a wreck on Saturday during practice.
That's right. That's right. So, again, I'm just really impressed. I call them rookies. I know they're not really rookies. This is their second season in the series. But it's fun to see these guys racing up there with the veterans of the sport. As far as the Rookie of the Year standings, Daniel Suarez has the lead. Eric Jones is second, just 7 points behind him. And then, of course, Ty Dillon is next, is third in line there. But I think this points battle is one of those that will go back and forth as the season continues. Kyle Larson is leading the series point standings, followed by Martin Truex Jr. There's now 13 points between the two of them. And then behind them is Kevin Harvick, 111 from the lead. Kyle Busch is fourth at 117th. Again, if points are taken away, that could impact where he lines up. Brad Keselowski is in fifth at 140 points. So there's some things to keep your eye on here in the Monster Energy Cup Series as this week continues.
Most definitely. I mean, most definitely. The points battle is just it's insane. And as we start to get closer towards the end of the season where we have the cutoff, you're going to start seeing a lot. I think we're going to start seeing a lot more aggressive driving. I think we're going to see a lot more different pit strategies. I think with this stage racing, the teams are just, you know, getting in the groove, you know, to find out, you know, how do we pick up these stage points, especially the last stage win, you know, which is also the race win itself. But, you know, these playoff points, I think they're going to be huge come the end of the season.
Absolutely. Now I want to get into the K&N Pro Series. We can talk more about this after we talk with Will Rogers here in just a few minutes. But they're halfway through their season now as well. Will Rogers took the pole. Kevin Harvick ended up winning that race. And the top five there, again, they were way out ahead of everybody else, who were 9 seconds behind. But David Mayhew finished third. Michael Self in fourth. Derek Krause finished fifth. So, and Will Rogers and Derek Krause are the two rookies amongst that group.
Yes, they are. And I'll tell you, this was a race that I kind of played out a little bit the way I expected. There's a couple surprises in there. I thought Todd was going to be a lot more stronger this year. Especially the way he ran it at Utah Motorsports Park last year for the other road course races. But you also got to remember, too, that Will Rogers does have road course experience along with Michael Self and the third-place finisher, David Mayhew. He's always strong there. And last year he was really contending for the win when he lost his alternator went bad. I really thought we were going to see a lot more out of Todd and even possibly Todd Souza, who races the number 13 car.
And they did end up in the top 10 in that race. Will Rogers, I'm sorry, I hit the wrong button here. I'm going to look at the point standings now. Todd Gilliland still has that lead with Chris Eggleston in second, followed by Derek Krause with 298 points, and Will Rogers is now fourth, and he is at 286 points. In fifth place, running seven races as opposed to the eight races that everybody else has run, is Michael Self, which is pretty impressive as well. He's actually tied for that fifth spot with rookie contender Cody Vanderwall at 272 points. Between Todd Gilliland and Chris Eggleston, it's 354 points to 343. So really an amazing battle going on there in the K&N West.
Yes, it's a really good battle going on. Once again, talking with David and talking with Todd on Saturday morning before the race, you know, talking about, you know, about how this was going to be their wild card race, you know, was the road course. And, you know, you see how it shook up the points. Of course, Todd had a better finish than Chris, so he did extend it. And Derek Krause, which is the top top three drivers were all Bill McNally's 18 drivers. You know, he was able to move up into that spot.
Okay, I apologize for my phone ringing here in the background. Anyway, we do have... coming up next is... I apologize. I can't turn it down. Anyway, here's the deal. I apologize for that.
Somebody doesn't sound too happy.
Yeah, it's I'm not too happy that I've got to remember to turn that down for the future. But anyway, the Casey's General Store 150 is coming up July 28th at Iowa Speedway as well. They've got a string of races that are going on here, and it's going to be fun to see what happens at that race as well. But our guest is here now if you want to go ahead and do your introductions.
Yeah, okay. Our next guest is Will Rogers, races for Jefferson Pitts Racing. Will had a very impressive second-place finish behind Kevin Harvick this Saturday during the Carneros 200 race at Sonoma Speedway. Very hard-fought battle. Led a lot of laps and basically etched his name in, you know, I'm sure in a lot of the drivers, his fellow competitors, you know, in the way he raced that race and walked away with the pole award first. So he had the fast time out of all of what we had, 32 drivers in the field this week, which is the biggest field that we've had all season. And with that, we want to welcome Will to the show. Welcome to the show, Will.
Hey guys, thanks for having me. How you doing?
Good. You know, first of all, you know, we want to say, you know, congratulations on second place win, second place finish. It was kind of like a win. But if Kevin Harvick wouldn't have been there, it would have been basically a runaway win. But either way, Kevin was there, you know, and it, you know, we have it every year at the Sonoma where we have the Cup drivers come in. But let's talk about those 64 laps for a minute here. Tell us about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for that. And it was a pretty wild weekend, to say the least, for me. Yeah, like you said, we were able to put down the fastest time on Saturday morning and secure the pole, which was pretty great for us. First career pole in the K&M Pro Series with Jefferson Pitts Racing. So we're really happy about that. Actually, backtracking, I guess, a day, we loaded off the truck really, really well. The car fired off exactly how we wanted to at the racetrack, and you know, we made a few little adjustments, and ultimately we went back to what we unloaded with, and that ended up being our race package. So you know, again, we secured the pole, which was great, and before the race I knew pretty much what it was going to come down to. I had this funny feeling a few weeks prior that knowing that my teammate was going to be Kevin Harvick, it was going to be, you know, he and I coming down the final laps battling for the win. And sure enough, there we were, you know. So that was pretty epic. We were really happy with the outcome. We didn't win, but it was a win in our books, kind of like what you just touched on, being able to race with, learn from, and hang with a Cup Series champion was a win in our books. So pretty great weekend all around.
You know, Will, and actually going back to the, you know, back to the, you know, Saturday, you know, kind of going forward to the, you know, to the last few laps. That's one thing, you know, that all the drivers, it seems like, in the series talk about, you know, they relish the fact, you know, that the, you know, some of the veteran Cup drivers, you know, will come and race, you know, because like yourself, you know, you were able to ride behind Kevin, see which lines he takes, you know, and kind of try to mimic, you know, to try and set yourself, you know, probably, you know, in a position to get the win, which you did. You had a chance on turn 11. You could have done the same thing basically that Tony Stewart did to Denny Hamlin, but you opted not to.
Yeah, that's right. You know, hanging back behind Kevin there, like I said, I learned a lot. I figured out pretty soon where my strengths were and where his strengths were. His what he had up on me was just the drive off of turn 11. You know, that is a really tough corner to get off of. Those Cup guys really have it figured out. They've been doing it right for years. So trying to master that in 64 laps was a little bit of a challenge. We weren't able to do it perfectly, but around other places on the racetrack, we were actually quicker than Kevin, and I knew we could take advantage of that. The last lap, yeah, we were able to get there. And in turn 11, Kevin, he didn't completely shut the door on us. He kind of left it halfway open, if that makes sense. And I did poke my nose in there. And, of course, his spotter probably let him know he was there. And I think he shut the door pretty quick. But I opted not to pull the move like what happened last year in the Cup race. A few laps before the end there, again, I pretty much knew what it was going to come down to. And I was on the radio with my crew chief, Jeff Jefferson, and pretty much said, "Hey, Jeff, you know, how do you want this to play out, man? I really want to get this win. I think we have a faster car here. What do you think?" And his instant response was, "Don't wreck him." And I fired back and I said, "All right, I won't wreck him. Can I move him?" And Jeff, you know, again, fired back and said, "Will, we want you to play it smart here. And ultimately, we want you to race how you want to be raced." So at that moment, I made my decision, and I knew if it was going to come down to that, I was not going to move him, and we were going to play it clean. And that's what happened. And I think from that, Kevin knows that we were right there and we could have done what we wanted. But because we didn't wreck him, I think, you know, some mutual respect was earned. And, you know, the rest is history. So that's kind of how it went down.
You know, and actually, Will, that was pretty awesome, because I know we talked about it afterwards. And then we talked about it the next day. But had that not been a Jefferson Pitts car, had that maybe been a Bill McAnally car or a Brancati car, do you think maybe you might have played it different?
You know, it's always hard to tell.
That was Jerry Pitts' car. He was your teammate. So, I mean, you know, that question always comes up, you know, what have you played it different, you know, and maybe try to give him a little nudge and try to move him a little bit, rattle his cage, per se.
That is true, certainly. That was a factor that I had in mind when I made my decision there. Again, you never know. It all depended who would be behind the wheel, whose car it would have been. I jokingly said to somebody after the race, if that had been Kyle Busch, I definitely would have moved him. that's a joke, of course. But yeah, it all depends on the scenario. I just weighed my options at that point, and I realized, yeah, being a teammate and being who Kevin is, I wanted to play it clean. And I think so far, even 48 hours later, it's paying dividends for me, and I hope it will in the long run. So.
Well, congrats again.
Okay.
On that, and with that, I'm going to turn it over to the host, Sharon.
Sure.
Yeah, I just want to say, you know, there's short-term thinking, Will, and there's long-term thinking. And I think that by doing what you did, in the long run, it's going to benefit you more. Sal was saying earlier that, you know, Kevin invited you to his pit box for the Cup race, and that was a unique opportunity for you as well.
Yeah, it absolutely was. You know, even afterwards, after the race, Kevin, I can't even tell you how many times he, you know, said great things about me to the media and to just people in the pits there or in victory lane. It was pretty great to hear the feedback that he was giving. And it seemed like I was the only driver he was talking about, which was, you know, kind of overwhelming for me. You know, I wasn't really expecting something like that. But, yeah, they did. Actually, on pit road there right before the race, we were hanging out behind the four car, and I was waiting to meet Rodney Childers, because he tweeted at me the night before and congratulated me for the race, and I wanted to go thank him for that. And I really wasn't expecting this. But Kevin called me over to the car and he and a bunch of his guys from the crew, and then also some sponsors and then executives from Stuart Haas were standing around, and he introduced me to all the guys and told me or told them how well of a job I did, and it was just a pretty cool moment. And then at that point, we started talking about the race a little bit, and then I was invited to be on the pit box. And also what conspired from that conversation was, hey, what are you doing Tuesday? And I said, I'm free, so I'm going to be actually joining happy hours with Kevin tomorrow afternoon on MRN. So pretty great experience. But you know, from that, sitting behind the pit box, sitting behind Rodney Childers during the race, it was a pretty cool perspective, you know, watching him do his magic and then ultimately getting Kevin into victory lane. That was a pretty awesome experience.
Absolutely. You couldn't ask for anything more than that. And let me just say, again, I haven't given you my congratulations on that victory. Or it wasn't a victory for you, but it was, you were the top finishing K&N West driver in that race. So in that sense, it was a victory for you. And was
Thank
this
you.
A race? I'm sure that this was a race that you had circled on your calendar for a long time.
Yeah, it certainly was. In fact, the day that the Sonoma K&N race ended last year in 2016, we were already planning for this one. You know, so it was definitely a year in the making. We knew Sonoma was our best shot, being that we come from road course racing. That's more of my background. I was very comfortable there, and I knew if I could just get in some really good equipment, like the 7 car, we'd have a great shot at the win. And, you know, things materialized early in the year. I found my opportunity with Jefferson Pitts Racing, and I knew Sonoma was going to be a good one this year. So a few weeks before the race, I flew up to Jefferson Pitts Racing and helped work on all 5 cars that, you know, they brought to the race, the 3 under JPR and then the 2 under normally being racing. And just physically, mentally, and mechanically prepared, and it worked out, you know. So, yeah.
That's a really great point, because, and we've had this conversation before, Sal, what a difference it makes when the drivers are able to work on their car and they know that car literally inside and out. And Will, talk about how that helps you when you're communicating with your crew chief during the race. I know you don't have pit stops like they do in the NASCAR races, but the feedback that you're able to give really helps your crew chief be able to do what he needs to do on your car, right?
Yeah, it certainly does. And I do work on the cars as much as I can. JPR has a very good program up there, so I don't like to step on their toes or get in their way. So whatever I can do mechanically, I'm up there doing. What I did most, what helped me most, I think, was making sure that I was comfortable in the car, making sure I had the right shifter, the belts were the right length, making sure the seat was in the right position, that kind of thing. So that really helped prepare me to just be able to hop in the car and focus forward. But yeah, also being part of all the other mechanics on the car, just understanding how it worked, understanding what the setup was like that we had on it, understanding what kind of adjustments we are going to make at the racetrack and what we aren't going to make at the racetrack. It definitely helps with our process and making a car, go faster and ultimately better at the end of the race. So it's definitely helpful.
Well, it certainly showed at Sonoma. You and Kevin were like a full 9 seconds ahead of everybody else on the racetrack. So that was very impressive. Sal, I'm going to pass the mic over to you again.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Jerry Pitts and Jeff Jefferson. Everybody knows the history behind Jeff and Jerry with the championships they've had with Greg Pursley,
Dylan Kwasniewski, you know, when they were crew chiefs for Gene Price Motorsports, of course, they took over Gene Price Motorsports. And they came close, you know, with Noah Gragson and winning a championship. What's it like driving for the, you know, having, you know, to be part of that team as compared to the team that you were with last season?
It's pretty awesome racing for those guys. You know, for some funny reason last year, you know, we were with Patriot Motorsports Group, and it was a great opportunity for me to dip my toes in the water of the NASCAR scene and get a lot of experience. And actually we did pretty well. We had a lot of fun doing it. We learned a lot. But for some funny reason, out of all the teams I met that year and all the drivers I met, something was just different about JPR, and they stuck out. And the first time I really got to chat with Jeff Jefferson, I knew just the communication that we had between each other, you know, once or twice during the weekend at Utah Motorsport Campus, I knew he was going to be the guy I wanted to work with. Funny enough, I didn't actually meet Jerry Pitts until the awards banquet in Charlotte later that year, officially at least. But still, I knew they were the guys to be with. But being under the JPR tent with all of the championships and wins those guys have is it's pretty humbling for sure, knowing that these guys are just so experienced, and you can't second guess anything they say, because you know it's going to be for the better, whatever decision they make, and you know they know what they're talking about. So I try to just be a student of the sport and then a student of theirs, just to take it all in and learn as much as possible. But so far it's been a really great transition.
Taking all this in, you know, not only talking about Jeff and Jerry, but then you talk about the rest of the team. Jason Jefferson, he's won super late model races. Jason knows how to win races. You talk about your tire guys between Robert Osaki. You talk about Denny Moyer, you know, and all the other guys that are on the team, you know, that worked with Gene Price when he was winning championships, when he was winning races. And you bring these, you keep this nucleus, you know, inside the mix, inside the fold. And now, you know, here you are, you know, with the same championship caliber team.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what Gene Price Motorsports, what they put together all those years back was just obviously a winning combination. And of course, they're from when they dissolved and then turned into Jefferson Pitts Racing, when they were able to keep the same guys, you know, it was still that winning combination. So it was pretty great to know that they've got all their ducks in a row. When it comes to literally everything from equipment to people to knowledge. So it's pretty awesome to be part of that team. And those guys are pretty great too. When I looked at other teams and was introduced to them, I did take into account what the crew is like, how they interact with each other. Are they cool guys? Are they having fun? And of course, do they know how to win races? And that's something that JPR has. They're hardcore racers. They love to win. They know exactly what they're doing. But at the end of the day, we all like each other a lot. We all go out to dinner together and have a good time. And that's something that I really like. I know in the larger echelons of racing, it gets more serious, and I understand that because it's more so of a business. But while we're here, why don't we have some fun? And I think that's what, you know, JPR really does well.
Yes, definitely. They are a really good team. They're, you know, championship caliber team. They got a couple, you know, championship caliber drivers. It's just, you know, it was kind of sad, you know, that Garrett Archer couldn't finish out the season because he started out real good. But, you know, along the way, you know, what it boils down to is Will Rogers in the number 7 car. What can Will Rogers do for Will Rogers, and what can Will Rogers do for JPR Racing? And, you know, you've always been a talent. Even from last year racing with Patriot, you know, and then this year, you know, of course, you know, you get, it's obvious you get into better equipment, you know, you get into a more, you know, a more solid team, you know, a whole different dynamic per se of racing, you know, and it's, and the results are, you know, they're slowly showing.
Yeah, absolutely. I had a feeling that they would. You know, I didn't know exactly where my talents lied with stock car racing, and obviously we're still very much developing on the oval side. I have a lot to learn. Those first four races for the Napa 500 Challenge actually went really well. You know, we got three top fives and one top three, but you know, these last three races we've faced a little bit of adversity, and I think that's just, you know, due to me not having a lot of seat time, and with more seat time with a team like JPR, I know things are going to start turning around on the oval platform. But you know, I wouldn't want to learn with anybody else other than JPR. They're perfect to work with for somebody at my level and experience. So far it's gone really well, and of course I knew their road course package was perfect, and well, not perfect, but it was great. And you know, I really wanted to be a part of that, and I'm really happy that they've had me. So far, it's been an awesome relationship.
And with that, I'm going to turn it back over to Sharon.
Sure.
Okay, well, another thing that was pretty impressive about your race at Sonoma Raceway, and with Kevin Harvick winning with Jefferson Pitts Racing, you broke that Bill McAnally Racing string of wins and poles. You took the pole earlier in the day, and then Kevin Harvick took the win. But now looking forward, coming up on July 28th is going to be the combo race for the K&N Pro Series. And following that, you've got Evergreen, Douglas County Speedway, Meridian Speedway, All-American, and finally Kern County Raceway Park. What are your thoughts about these upcoming races? You mentioned a little bit of gaining some confidence on the road on the oval platform. Talk about which one of those tracks are the next tracks that you have circled.
Iowa Speedway is definitely the next one that I have circled. It's a big track, of course, the biggest one we'll run all year in the West Series, and it's the East-West combo, and a lot of eyes are on it, and we get to, you know, square up with the East guys and see what they've got. For the last few years, the West Series, the 16 cars won that race, so it's pretty great to see that the K&N West guys out here are as competitive, if not more, than the ones that are out East the last few years. But that's a race that I have circled on the oval schedule now. You know, I think we're going to do really well with the package that JPR is putting together. They're going to put me in a great piece of equipment, and I'm going to have some great coaching to make sure that we're good to go between Jeff and Jason and Jerry. And I think we're going to bring in an experienced spotter to help me get around that place a little bit better. So that's definitely what I'm looking forward to. It's pretty great. We were able to pretty great for us. Of course, not great for Bill McAnally Racing, but we were able to break the streak there of the BMR poles and wins. You know, I don't know if we'll be able to keep that going. The 16 car runs there really well every single year, but we're going to give it a heck of a shot. So.
Okay. Now, before you go, Will, I want to make sure fans know how they can follow you on social media, and because I'm sure you've had a lot of fans, but I got a feeling you picked up a whole new crowd of fans here. And then any other shout-outs that you want to make before we say goodbye?
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, you're right. Over the last 48 hours, I've had a little bit different of a social media activity because of Kevin and Rodney and Delana getting some retweets going for us. But fans could follow me on Instagram at @WillRogers_, and that's Rogers with a D. On Twitter, at @WillRogers65. And Facebook, it's just Will Rogers Racing. Anybody could follow me there and just follow along with all the racing, and then just any updates we're posting. And I'd love to shout out to Diego Alvarado and Christian Espinoza for this past weekend. Those guys have helped me you know, to no end with my PR stuff. I'm not the most social media savvy guy, and those guys have really helped out on that front. So I want to give them a big shout out. Want to give a big shout out to the whole JPR team. Great weekend we had, and also to my family and all my other supporters. And thank you to you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, we really enjoyed talking with you tonight, Will, and we hope you'll consider coming back and chatting with us again as the season progresses here. And we wish you the best out there at Iowa Speedway on July the 28th for the Casey's General Store 150. Big, big race for the K&N West and the K&N East, so definitely looking forward to that.
Absolutely. Happy to come back anytime. And, again, thanks for having me.
Okay, Will. You take care and safe travels to you out there.
Thanks a lot. You guys, too. See ya.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right, Sal. That was Will Rogers with Jefferson Pitts Racing. Really enjoyed the interview with him. He's pretty well spoken, and it seemed like you know, he was gunning for this one, and it played out pretty much the way he. It sounded like he kind of wanted to go after that win, but he took second thoughts on it, which was a wise decision, I think.
Yeah, it was. You know what? The main thing is, Sharon, is that how did was it Bob Hope and Bing Crosby say, I did it my way?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when you kind of look at it, you know, he did it his way. You know, he did it the way he dictated, you know, the way he wanted the finish to go. He technically, he was in command. I mean, he could have went inside of Kevin and, you know, hit him and got him the win. So he was in command, you know, and he took the... He took the route that he felt, you know, would he looked at the bigger picture, you know, then looked at the smaller picture. But I like the quote when he said, if it had been Kyle Busch, I would have put him in the wall, you know.
Well,
that was great, but, you know.
Well, I'll tell you what, Kevin Harvick did have a lot of really good things to say about Will Rogers. He won that race. I do have his post-race comments here. Let's listen to just a couple of minutes of that because this was right after winning the Carneros 200 and competing with Will Rogers.
If I can have your attention here in the media center and upstairs in the deadline room, we are now joined by today's race winner of the NASCAR K&M Pro Series West Carneros 200, and that is none other than Kevin Harvick, driver of the number 4 Fields Ford. Kevin, this is your 8th win in NASCAR K&M Pro Series West history, your first since 2007. How good does it feel to come back home, come back to your roots, really, and have a great day like this?
Well, it always feels good to win, no matter what it is. But you know, the main objective was to come have fun, shine a little light on the series, and just, you know, like the race today with Will. You know, to shine a little light on how much talent is in this series. They had a great field of cars. You know, this particular series did a lot for me, and to come back and be a part of it and see the health of it and see the young guys racing was really the main objective. Obviously, like I say, it's fun to win, but it's really about all the publicity and all the things for the series as we came into the week and you know, for us to have a new sponsor and Fields on board. It's just a lot of good things, and it's always fun to race in front of your home state fans. And been a long time since I raced in this particular series here, but it was a fun weekend.
It was a fun show indeed. If you have a question for Kevin, please raise your hand. We'll get a wireless mic to you.
All right. That was Kevin Harvick's post-race comments. He did mention Will there for just very briefly. But I know throughout the weekend he had a lot of really good things to say about Will Rogers and his talent.
Yeah, he did, Sharon, and you know, it was a really good shout-out. You know, I really like the shout-out. You know, he says, you know, about coming, you know, back to his roots, you know, coming back to his series, you know, that actually gave a lot to him. I mean, everybody knows, you know, how much Kevin gave to the series, you know, back when he was coming up, you know, through the late model rank and, you know, through the K&N West series, you know, racing out here at Mason Marin and Bakersfield, you know, and making sure, you know, that he did give back. And it was neat to see him out there along with Brian Blaney and also Daniel Suarez, you know, as they were preparing.
Mm-hmm.
They used this race for their thing for this race was to learn road racing. You know, Kevin came out, you know, to have fun, you know, like you said, you know, to give back to, you know, a state, a city, you know, that gave so much to him.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And it goes back to what Kyle Larson had said earlier in the year, how he felt that more of the drivers should do exactly that, go back to their grassroots of racing and put more of a spotlight on these tracks. Sonoma's not one of the smaller tracks, obviously, but it is a big track for the K&N Pro Series, and he did put a spotlight on that series and the talent that is there. So, well, it was a lot of fun, Sal. I really enjoyed the conversation here tonight, and I'll look forward to doing it again next Monday night after Daytona.
Yeah, it's going to – well, we – I don't know. I think I'm on vacation. I think I'm on vacation next week from what I'm finding out today.
Okay.
I think we're taking our 4th of July vacation from – I'll find out more during the week. I'll let you know.
Keep me posted.
I totally forgot this is 4th of July coming up, and I'm like, wow, I thought. How could I miss it?
Yeah, keep me posted, and so we can, kind of plan for that accordingly. And then, because I'm going on vacation, too, at some point here, but I do want to say I always enjoy talking with you on Monday nights. I appreciate everything you do, and I can't wait to do it again next Monday night. But keep in mind, we're also going to be here on Thursday night for the preview of the races coming up this weekend with MJ Huseman as the co-host, and we'll give you your complete guide to the weekend of racing on Thursday starting at 8:30 p.m. On Fan for Racing Radio right here on Blog Talk Radio. So stay tuned for that information as well. Any parting comments you want to make before we sign off, Sal?
That's basically it. Everybody just have a safe, we can have a safe Thanksgiving, 4th of July. I don't know why I keep thinking it's Thanksgiving. probably because I'm hungry. But have a safe 4th of July. And once again, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to everybody next week.
Okay, that's perfect. Thanks, everybody, again, for listening. And we'll look forward to talking to you on Thursday night and next Monday night again after Daytona. Enjoy your weekend and be safe. That's the most important thing. Good night, everyone. That's a wrap.
All right. Good night.